Shalom, this is Stefan Yah on YahvehYahweh.name, and we're looking at the New Testament Chanukah, or New Testament Hanukkah, from Psalm 97 and 98, also looking at 2 Samuel and Isaiah, the book of Psalms again, 1 Corinthians, Mark 11, Revelation 12, and a few more than that too, even talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, compared to how the holidays of the nations are kept. We're going to do that again a little bit this time as we have some enjoyable winter weather finally in the great northwest of Oregon. And it's just been a curse almost. It's such a drought period and warmer temperatures, of course, that we're seeing all over. But now it seems to be such a blessing. So perhaps that's an answer to prayer, and bringing some needed moisture to all the plant life and to all life here, that we thank Yahushua Messiah for having given us such a blessed blessing, and also for delivering us, for giving us the victory and the triumph over sin. That's what Hanukkah is all about. In Psalm 97, you that love Yahweh, hate evil. That can either be a commandment or a statement. You that love Yahweh, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in Yahweh, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his kadosh, or pureness or separation, that he separated from as we should be, separated from all religions of the world, all other gods. He is the only Elohim, Yahweh himself, YHVH. We rejoice in Yahweh, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his kadosh. Sing unto Yahweh a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his pure arm has gotten him the victory. Psalm 98, or Tehillim 98, or you could just say Song 98. And the victory was given to the children over the Philistines in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 10. In the Older Testament, that's 2 Samuel 23, and this type of Hanukkah was delivered earlier. Yes, thousands of years earlier. 2 Samuel 23:10. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And Yahweh wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Now that was found in 2 Samuel. Also kind of interesting here that in 2 Samuel chapters 10 and verse 5 about David, and referring to the beards there. We're going to parenthetically here when they bring this out. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. They had one half of their beards cut off, and their garments as well cut off in the middle. And also in 2 Samuel 15, verse 30, David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. 23, verse 1, now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of Yahweh of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the spirit of Yahweh spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Yahweh of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of Yahweh. 10, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And Yahweh wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. The people returned after him only to spoil, and that was a type of the Hanukkah that occurred thousands of years later. Mark chapter 11. What kind of victories can we have today? Mark 11:23. Master, behold the fig tree. The disciples speaking here. Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Yahusha, which I will insert there, we know that is the Savior's name. Messiah answering saith unto him, have faith in Yah. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Then next to Yeshayahu chapter 28. 28:8, he will swallow up death in victory, and Yahweh will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from off all the earth, for Yahweh has spoken it. 28:8 of Isaiah. And then let's go to chapter 26, if you could read the entire scripture for yourself. Yeshayahu 26. In that day shall be this song, sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will Yahweh appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open you the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Verse 4, trust in Yahweh forever. And that first L-O-R-D there is 3060, Y-H-V-H. Trust ye in Yahweh forever. Then the second one here where it says Lord in the King James is actually Hebrew 3050, and it's Y-A-H and not L-O-R-D. Absolutely not, but it's Yah. So trust in Yahweh forever, for in Yah, the next one is Jehovah, so that's correct, except they replaced the Y with a J. 500 years ago, Yahweh is everlasting strength, or Yahovah is everlasting strength. He brings down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low, even to the ground. He brings it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is upright. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. And then verse 12, Yahweh, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. It's just like John chapter 3, verse 21. Thou hast wrought all of our works in us. We can do nothing without him. O Yahweh, our mighty one, other Elohim beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. It doesn't say we'll make mention of thy title, but of his name. What is the name of the Father? It's the Tetragrammaton, YHVH. Now they are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore thou hast visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Yahweh, thou hast increased the nation. Thou art magnified, thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Yahweh, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like a woman with child that draws near the time of her delivery is in pain and cries out in pangs, her pangs, so we have been in thy sight, O Yahweh. We have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the habitations of the world fallen. 19, thy dead men shall live. Now this is about the resurrection. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, you that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. See also Daniel 12, 2. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. So yes, he's going to keep us during the tribulation. He's going to keep us. He's not necessarily going to rapture us out into a heaven or anything, but he's going to protect us. We'll hide in the rock, in Petra, in Messiah himself, in Moshiach. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed, For behold, Yahweh cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. We'll talk about the Maccabees being delivered from Antiochus Epiphanes near the end of this MP3 broadcast. Now, about the triumph that we have in Messiah over Satan, over those who Satan is controlling. We call them our enemies. Actually, they may not be our enemy at all. It's just Satan who is behind it all and orchestrating all this evil throughout the world. But Psalm 18 would be the next reference there, Psalm 18, verse 4. The sorrows of death encompassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. David said, in my distress I called upon Yahweh and cried unto my Yah. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. Now let's go to verse 26 here in Tehillim chapter 18, 26. Is next, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, or with the separated thou wilt show thyself separated, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. That's verse 26, by the way. 27, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. Yahweh, my Yah, will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, or army. I have run through a troop, and by Yahweh I have leaped over a wall. As for Yah, his way is perfect. The word of Yahweh is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is Yah save Yahweh? Or who is a rock save our Yah? Question mark. It is Yah that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. That's only by his help. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand has holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. We have no goodness in ourselves, no strength, no spiritual greatness at all without him. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them, that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued unto me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of my enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto Yahweh, but he answered them not. Neither did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. Yahweh liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the Yah of my salvation be exalted. It is Yah that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivered me from my enemies. Yea, thou lifteth me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee. Not putting the emphasis on me, but on him. You know, not therefore I give thanks unto thee, like I hear so often, but therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Yahweh, among the people, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. And that was Isaiah from chapter 26, from Tehillim 18, 26 through the end there, through verse 50. He's given us deliverance as he gave the Maccabees. 150 years before Messiah was his ministry here on the earth. But deliverance in 1 Corinthians 15:50 about the resurrection. He's given us victory over sin, over the flesh, over death. All through the Messiah and through his work. Now those messianics are not to pick on you necessarily, but those who deny the Messiah. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yah, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. And then you better read the rest of that. And the words to a song, Messiah Arose, is found in an old songbook way, way back. And here, I got to grab it here. Church Service Hymns 384, The Strife is O'er, by Giovanni Palestrina. And it says, the strife is o'er, the battle done, the victory of life is won. The song of triumph has begun, hallelujah. Or they wrote, hallelujah. And then verse 4, he closed the yawning gates of hell, the bars from heaven's high portals fell. Let hymns of praise his triumphs tell, hallel Yahweh, or hallelujah. Then another one is Messiah Arose. We'll do that right now. Robert Lowry, and the chorus is Messiah, and changing to the proper words here instead of titles like Lord. Messiah, my master, up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph over his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallel Yahweh, Messiah arose. One for Passover would be the Day of Resurrection, 387, but that on another program, another time possibly. Now, having read 1 Corinthians, we'll move on. And up to higher ground in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, and we're going to read the most of that. And Revelation 14, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And then we'll go to verse 17 here. The dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh, and have the testimony of Yahushua Messiah, or the J-E-S-U-S in the King James. Okay. Now back to verse 2, about the great wonder in heaven. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto Yahweh and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness. So the woman here representing the assembly. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of Yahweh, that they should feed her 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his messengers fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his messengers and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called Ha-Satan, the devil, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his messengers were cast out with him. Angels actually would be a proper word there, because it's referring to the evil ones. His angels were cast out with him, Revelation 20, verse 2 as well. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our Elohim, and the power of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before Yahweh day and night and day. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. When the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. So the devil persecuting the assembly here. It's not a Queen Mary up in heaven, but it's the assembly that this woman represents here, in my opinion. And you can have any opinion you want. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half. Or actually for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth, water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The dragon, finally the verse 17, the dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahusha. And let's look at Isaiah 57, 19. Yeshayahu 57. On this program here about a type of New Testament Hanukkah. And it's, what is it again? 57:19, right? Okay, and I create the fruit of the lips. Shalom, shalom to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith Yahweh, I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it can't rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith Yahweh, to the wicked. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression. Now, it doesn't say show my people love, love, love. All we need is love, but show my people their transgression, which is love, by the way. Show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob, show them their sins. That's what we're to do, is talk about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Talk about repentance and overcoming, about having the victory in Messiah, getting deliverance through the blood of the Messiah, through the death, burial, and resurrection. We have the victory over Hasatan, over evil, over the world. We will not bow to idols. And Revelation chapter 14 is the next passage there to be read or listened to, hearing the word of Yahweh. Revelation 14, and I looked, and lo, the Lamb, that's the Messiah, capital L, the Lamb. The Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And by the way, this would be a people who kept the Sabbath, kept their garments spotless, and did not do despite to Yahweh's word or change his name, obliterate it, try to bring it to naught, breaking the third commandment. It was not that people, but a people who kept the Father's name and kept his commandments. I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a renewed song before the throne and before the four beasts and elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. See also chapter 20, verse 6. And in the King James it says, as they sung, as it were, a new song, but it should actually be renewed song before Yahweh. And I believe they're going to be singing that song, the song of Moses, in the book of Exodus. Now, Revelation 14:4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. By the way, having intimate relation in marriage is not defiling oneself. So this is a spiritual defilement. You could also verify that maybe in chapter 7, verse 4. But these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. See also 2 Corinthians 11:2, by the way. And these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Yahweh and to the Lamb. And another footnote is Leviticus 23:15, 2 Corinthians 11:2, Revelation 7:4. So these are the virgins of Yahweh, the 144,000, the 12 tribes. Verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Yahweh. I saw another messengers fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting evangel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear Yahweh. You ever hear that in some churches where they say, we're not to fear? No fear. Here it says, fear Yahweh and give esteem to him. See also, see Psalm 1. The hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven, earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel or messenger saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. For reference on that, Isaiah or Yeshayahu 21:9. The third messenger followed them saying, with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Yahweh, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the separated angels or messengers, in the presence of the separated messengers and in the presence of the Lamb. And he smoke of their torment, the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest night or day, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. See also 13:16, which says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Revelation 14:12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahusha Messiah. Or in the King James, J-E-S-U-S. Also Revelation 22:14. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in Yahweh from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Another messenger came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat in the cloud, thrust in the sickle, and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat in the cloud thrust in the sickle on the eighth and the on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And you could finish that up to verse 20. Revelation 22, beginning with this verse, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. So we're having that victory, Revelation 22. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb, out of the throne of Yahweh, or Yah, and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there. Then down to, let's see, verse 11 and 12, 14 and so on. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is Kodesh, let him be Kodesh still, or pure. King James, holy. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Aleph and Tav, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Blessed are they that do his commandments, the law, the principles, the prescriptions, the precepts. Greek word 1785, same as Mark 10:5, where Messiah said, Moses wrote you this precept in Mark 10:5. So blessed are they that do his commandments, or mitzvah in Hebrew, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and makes a lie. I, Messiah, have sent my messenger to testify unto you these things in the assemblies. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. See Numbers 24:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Isaiah 55:1. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, Yahweh shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh shall take away his part out of the book of life. So it is possible to lose your salvation. Yahweh shall take out, because your name couldn't be in there in the first place if you weren't saved. Yahweh shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the separated city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth saith these things. Surely I come quickly, and then they put A-M-E-N, I'll put Hallel, even so come Yahusha, the Master Yahusha. The unmerited favor of Yahusha Messiah, Messiah be with you, Hallel. This is written in A.D. 96, by the way, which would make a big difference if someone wanted to make a case, because these are definitely way after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah. All these things from there in Acts chapter 1 to the book of the Revelation. Paul never spoke out of both sides of his mouth, and the Apostle Paul, and he never gave a message in Galatians, Colossians, or any place else that the Torah that he knew quite well, that was right, according to the book of Psalms, the law is perfect, converting the soul. He never spoke contrary to that. He never wrote anything that indicated or inferred that the Sabbath day and the laws were done away with. But we see all this as a perfect harmonious tapestry, a beautiful thread coming from the word of Yahweh. It is the word of Yahweh, of course, but he shows us without any discrepancy or deviation whatsoever, even in Paul's writings, and we have reference on that too. From the Hebrew outlook, the Hebrew perspective of the New Testament, especially Paul's writings there. Please write for that, yahweh.name. Back to Hanukkah and the historical way that we've always heard about the perpetual oil, the oil that continued to burn there. That was a possible miracle, but that possible miracle of Hanukkah is not in Scripture. But the real victory to be emphasized is that Yahweh gave the great victory to the Maccabees over the Antiochus Epiphanes by his outstretched arm in 135 BC or BCE, that he, through the Messiah, gives all who wait on him victory over all sin. That Messiah, or that Yahweh through Messiah, I should say, that Yahweh, through Messiah, gives all who wait on him victory over all sin. And we have victory in Messiah. So meanwhile, it looks like this, that we are walking as a separated unto Yahweh, separated from all pagan religions, philosophies, and traditions, customs, cutting down Christmas trees, dragging them into our home during the winter solstice. It separates us from all that, and by his power, that is, and makes us to walk blamelessly before him by the righteousness, the imputed righteousness of the Savior, Messiah, Yahusha. 1 Corinthians 10. We cannot bow to idols. So that's going to be in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14. Shaul is writing, Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge you what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Yahusha? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Yahusha? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread, the body of Messiah. Behold, Yisrael after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What do I say then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice is that they sacrifice to devils and not to Yah, and I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of Yahweh and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of Yahweh's table and of the table of devils. Now there's an application here. Do we provoke Yahweh to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And so the scripture goes on there in 1 Corinthians 10. So that's very interesting if we believe that it's okay to take the media of the world, of the nations of Babylon or Satan, and use them to draw people to Messiah Yahweh, the separated pure one of Israel, who has his righteous standards, and it's written right there for our instruction and admonition and encouragement. How can we take his righteous standards and put them side by side with the tools of Satan? We're going to be looking at Jude chapter 1, or the book of Jude here pretty soon. Now, what right does anybody have of warning somebody else that there could be great fire, great judgment coming? Jude verse 23 says, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Now, what does it look like to be a sheep? To be a sheep, the follower of our leader, Messiah, the shepherd of the sheep. It has to do with, do we just go out and jump in the car and punch the button after our service and listen to AC/DC with the Highway to Heaven or the Highway to Hell? We can just rename it Highway to Heaven after all, can't we? So many songs out there, and even songs that go way back 70 or 80 years that were actually written contrary to Scripture. And one song that said, "It ain't necessarily so," that put doubt and cast doubt upon the major Old Testament miracles in Scripture, like Jonah being in the belly of the fish 3 nights and 3 days, and as Moses being protected and having been delivered from the Egyptians in the way that he was too, and protected in that little ark. And some of these warnings are just taken so lightly, and we just sort of cast them by the side flippantly, and thinking, well, I'm saved and everybody else says I am, so don't preach to me. I'm in the choir. I'm a believer. You know, I'm a Hebraic. I go to Hebrew classes all the time, you know. Very intellectual, but do we have Messiah in our hearts? Do we have a relationship? Well, okay. Choir, I'll be quiet and read the scripture. Okay. Verse 3 of Judah. "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints," unto the true believers, the faith. So that means all the scripture contained from Genesis to the Revelation. And at that time, of course, there was no so-called New Testament, the newer scriptures. So from Genesis through Micah, anyway, as we know in the American scriptures, "Contend for the faith once delivered unto the emissaries. For there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace," or more properly, the unmerited favor, or ken in Hebrew, "the unmerited favor of Yahweh into lasciviousness, and denying the only master, the only husband, Yahweh, and our husband, our Yahweh, Yahusha, HaMashiach. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that Yahweh," or the, and King James, the Lord, how that Yahweh, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, having destroyed them that believed not. See Numbers 14. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day, of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. And as the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Eternal fire, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the messenger, or the archangel, which when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, I think it's in Zechariah 3:2, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, Yahweh rebuke thee, Yahweh rebuke thee, not the Lord. That could be any Elohim, any Baal. But these speak evil of those things which they knew not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perishing in the gainsaying of Korah. See Numbers 16, verse 19 to 50. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds that are without water. We've seen a lot of those. Clouds that are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withers, without fruit, twice dead. Now there's an argument again for those who are into extreme eternal security. How could you be twice dead if you weren't saved to begin with? So twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, there's a hellfire and brimstone preaching to the choir today. So it said back in Corinthians there in chapter 10, what say I then, that the idol is anything? I say that the things which the Gentiles, they sacrifice to idols and not to Yahweh. And they sacrifice the devils, not to Yah, and I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You can't drink the cup of Yahweh and the cup of devils. You can't be partakers of his table, of Yahweh's table, and of the table of devils. Do we provoke Yahweh to jealousy? Yeah, so let us consider that we are the temple of the Ruach HaKadosh, and we're not to mix all kinds of Oriental religion, different gods, from all over the world. The nations of the world have their different gods, and there's a whole book, whole libraries full of them. The message of Yahweh is that we're to repent. The message of Scripture is to repent from our lawless deeds, from our taking too much interest away from Yahweh and putting it on to someone, something, or some ideal, or some false concept or another, that becomes our God, our Elohim. But we want to find liberty in the law of Yahweh, not unto lasciviousness, not eternal bondage by any means, not into license, but into true liberty by letting Yahweh keep us as he keeps us and he keeps us safe. He keeps his law and keeps us pure within us. Because in Matthew, he said, here's one of the messages of Scripture right here in Matthew chapter 3. And Yochanan the Baptist was doing some preaching here prior to Yahweh introducing his ministry into the world. Matthew 3, in those days came Yochanan the Immerser, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Yeshayahu, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of Yahweh, make his paths straight. And then Matthew 3:6, and were immersed of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. I wonder how many times you'll hear that at the local assembly. Being immersed and confessing our sins. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And verse 10, now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. John said, I indeed immerse you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall immerse you with a Ruach HaKadosh and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That was Matthew chapter 3. And a little interpretation on the voice. Yochanan 3:13, now going over to the book of John, speaking of our Messiah, and then we open up with a very short about pagan holidays after we speak about the Maccabean revolt back in 135, okay? But first this, John 3:13, speaking of the Messiah, and no man has ascended up to heaven. So this would be about the year 30 or 31 A.D. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him, that is, believeth on the Messiah, should not perish, but have eternal life. And yes, I would take that no man has ascended up to heaven, meaning even Abraham had not ascended to heaven, at least up to this time of 31 A.D., that whosoever believeth in Messiah should not perish, but have eternal life. And we want to really value and relish our relationship with Yahweh and discover Messiah Yahusha by reading his word from Genesis to Revelation, reading the scriptures, often referred to as the Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament. The New Testament referred to as the Greek scriptures. That may be challenged there about that being Greek, about the origin being Greek, for many reasons. So we want to overcome our nature, our sinful nature, and have the power to do that. And Messiah is the one who will overcome that in us by his working righteousness. Well, we're about 50-some minutes into the podcast so far. Looks like we might have to stretch this out over more than an hour, because I wanted to also include John or Yochanan 15 and parts of 16. And he said in Yochanan 15:15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Read about the righteous cloak in Matthew 22:11. 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now had they both sin and hated both me and my Father. But this come to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. See Psalm 69:4. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceed from the Father, he shall testify of me. You shall also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, and this is in chapter 16 now of John. And we'll talking about the Comforter in verse 7. The Comforter will not come if I not go away. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you all things. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And then in John 16:32, or right before that, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Hanukkah message, I have overcome the world there, from the 17th chapter of Yochanan. So, back the historical account, reading here from Love for Israel, about Hanukkah, spelled H-A-N-U-K-K-A-H. In 175 BCE, Antiochus IV Epiphanes gained control of Judea. He outlawed the Hebrew religion. And 167 BCE, he went so far as to desecrate the separated temple by having an altar to Zeus placed there and ordering pigs to be sacrificed, which is an abomination to Yahweh, according to Isaiah 65, a prophetic chapter of the future. They began to openly persecute the Jews, Hebrews, and prohibited the study of the Torah, and tried to force them to assimilate. Assimilate with what? With the other religions of the world, like we do today in the ecumenical movement that was initiated by the Catholic Church in the 60s. Yeah, stay out of Babylon. Stay out of all these other religions and worshiping other gods. These outages incited rebellion by the Maccabees, which was led by Mattathiah and his five sons, or Matthew, one of whom, Judah Maccabees, who took over the rebellion after his father died. This family was called the Maccabees, and that's spelled M-A-C-C-A-B-E-E-S. And in 165 B.C., they managed to end on this program earlier. I told you it was 135. I was in error there. It's 165 B.C.E. They managed to defeat their oppressors and rededicate the separated temple to Yahweh. Even though they were small in number, they won a great victory over the enemy and were able to reclaim the temple. It was during the celebration of lights, Hanukkah, that Yahusha announced, I am the light of the world. He is the light that comes out of the darkness. Many are going through difficult times when it looks like the enemy has gained victory, and now is the time to be strong and reclaim what the enemy has stolen in your life and rededicate your temple to him and give him the altar of your heart. Burn brightly for him, the article says. And then that reference about light of the world is in John chapter 8, verse 12. Messiah said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. And what a wonderful time to rededicate our life during this Hanukkah, 12 days. It's, let's see, the date today is 12/12/2015, finishing up the Sabbath day. And finishing up Hanukkah in a couple of days, while the world is off into their pagan holidays and having themselves a merry holiday, the actual day Christmas originates from the two words Christ or Christos. Look that up about the Greek mythology referring Christos, and the Mass, M-A-S-S, the Catholic Mass, which by their own definition is the re-sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Every Sunday morning or whenever they have the Mass, the transubstantiation, transforming a disc of bread into the body and blood of the Messiah. They say it's the bloody sacrifice, and that's called the Mass. But anyway, Christ's Mass was immersed in idolatry, sun worship, and there isn't any command in Scripture to keep it. Galatians chapter 4 says, I am afraid of you. You keep days, months, times, and years. And then also in Jeremiah 10, learn not the way of the heathen. The Church of the World on December 25th typically is closed. And very, very few churches remain open on December 25th anymore to worship. But other than that, people gather to talk about holly and lights, the tree, the tinsel, and they drink and give themselves presents, and inspiring us to covet things, even to break the 10th commandment, to covet what somebody else has, and creates an insatiable appetite. I want something different and better. They wait for the next day and go out the following day and exchange their presents. Well, you know the entire litany there. Songs by Irving Berlin, Wearing Gay Apparel. And that time of year is not the time that the shepherds were watching their sheep in the wintertime with 3.5 feet of snow in Jerusalem at times. It's just a nasty time of year for everybody in the Northern Hemisphere, including Jerusalem. And furthermore, the Roman New Year is in the dead of the year. It's the dead of winter. The true year begins around March, April, after the spring equinox, and the first new moon after that is the first day of the month and first day of the year found in the book of Exodus. Just before Passover time, would be 14 days before Passover. Passover occurs on Aviv 14, or the common word Nisan 14. And today's months in the Roman calendar were set by Pope Gregory. The days begin in the dead of the night at midnight. And so Yahweh's days begin at evening, at sundown. Believers gather together to keep a feast. And they actually do attend services. People love to praise Yahweh. And hopefully they are joyful during the Feast of Sukkot, or Tabernacles, where Yahweh commands us to celebrate his feasts in Vayikra 23, or Leviticus 23, Numbers 28, Devarim, or Deuteronomy 14, also 12. Believers can gather for all 8 days, not just one day with no church at all, but 8 days at the Feast of Tabernacles Sukkot, which includes 2 high days where they are, most work is restricted. Actually, it says all work. And breakfast, supper time, and lunch. We frequently talk about prophecy, scriptures, talk about the feast, about the second coming. It's a blessed time. In Nehemiah 8, they reminded each other that they had lost the Torah and they hadn't kept the Feast of Tabernacles for so long. They didn't wear gay apparel, but they did wear Hebraic attire. And they weren't freezing to death either, even though they could dwell in booths, as is commanded. And, okay, I think we're... And that was taken from an article from YahweHyahweh.name about tinsel and holly and the Feast of Tabernacles. Another article is taken from giveshare.org, or giving and sharing, and Richard C. Nichols writes, we dwell in booths, temporary dwellings, 7 days to teach us that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth, looking forward to new heavens and new earth wherein dwells righteousness. See Zechariah 14. More than any other time of the year, we plan to travel, to make a pilgrimage, to be with other brethren at the feast. Now, some argue that they could keep that at home, and for those with health issues, perhaps they can. First and the last days of the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, are pure convocations. And we expect to drink in the Almighty's word, Yahweh's word, all 8 days of the feast. Truly, the Feast of Tabernacles is the most joyous time of the year, the season of our rejoicing. And you don't freeze your toes off. The season of our rejoicing is in October for Sukkot. They dwell in booths. And let's see, I think there's a couple of questions here at the end that we can answer. What is the meaning of dwelling in booths? We see Hebrews 11 there. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles by the power of Yahweh. With Isaac and Jacob, he traveled, and with the children of Israel, he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is Yahweh. Psalm 27, Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of Yahweh, that I will seek after, that I may tabernacle or dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in this tabernacle offerings of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto Yahweh. And then over in Psalms 43, chapter 43, verse 3. Tehillim 43:3. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy pure hill and to thy tabernacles. 46:4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of Yah, the pure place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Psalm Tehillim 61:4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. 84, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Yahweh of hosts. My soul longs, yea, even faints, for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living Yah. Verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Isn't that beautiful compared to the nation's holidays? Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. And 10, a day in the courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Yahweh than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Psalm 118:15, the voice of rejoicing and salvation. This is 118:15. Rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh doeth valiantly. Psalm 132:7, we will go into his tabernacle, we will worship at his footstool. Revelation 3:12, Messiah said, him that overcometh will I make pillar in the temple of my Yah. He that overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of Yah, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my Yah, and the name of the city of my Yah, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my Yah, and I will write upon him my new name. Oh, this doesn't require a saint, like Paul or David. They are all overcomers by the power of the Spirit, just as we are overcomers. So if they were saints, so are we. Although we occasionally come short. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of Yah. And in Revelation 21:3, I, John, saw the pure city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yah out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And you can read the rest of that in 21, Revelation. How do the fall feasts parallel the spring feasts? Your sons, daughters, manservants, maidservants, the Levite, stranger, fatherless, and widow that are within your gates. All assembled together and in Passover and in Sukkot, and also in the first fruits, Pentecost. Sinfulness, drunkenness, refusing to acknowledge Yah as a source of their blessings, perverted judgment, thinking only of food, fellowship, and fun, is found among man's feasts when they pervert his feasts. And to learn to fear Yahweh always during the Feast of Tabernacles, to rejoice with our families and friends, and remember the Exodus from Egypt, and know that Yahweh is our Yah, to do all his works, the works of the law, not as attaining salvation, but unto gratefulness and thankfulness and obedience and love in response to our Heavenly Father's call through the Messiah, Yahushua, by the power of the Spirit. Remember the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, recognizing the place which he shall choose to place his name is the tabernacle of the Ruach HaKadosh. Yes, it's right there, 1 foot or less below your ears, in your heart. And the time of pouring out the Spirit upon the vast majority of mankind is at Yahweh's feasts. We don't want to pollute his feasts, his judgments and Sabbath days or statutes, nor his weekly Sabbaths or annual Sabbaths, his pure days, his Feast of New Moon. So tabernacling, dwelling in booths, is a symbol of faith that Yahweh will fulfill his promises when he will magnify his law. He will fulfill his promises respecting to the heavenly tabernacle, wherein Yahweh dwells, being under his protection during the time of trouble, and eventually living in Yahweh's house in the New Jerusalem. What a blessed time this is going to be. And we're all looking forward to that. Coming up in the New Jerusalem according to prophecy. So this has been the program about Hanukkah, and we wish you a great day. And if you need to get in touch, not about some financial matter, not some sort of a telemarketing deal trying to get our finances, because we only have enough for the locals, if even that much. Persecution is coming. We're going to need to store up a lot of goods for the persecution to come, and to be able to feed the saved, the unsaved, as many as Yahweh shall provide. He'll provide the way, the food, the methods, and the motive too, for taking care of one another. This is really something exciting to look forward to, and I believe that you and I were born in this actual period of time to witness the second coming, the end of the current world as we know it. And we are coming to the end of that 2,000-year cycle, going into the seventh millennial rest year is coming up. It says in Book of Hosea, chapter 6, talks about this. We're keeping Yahweh's statutes, commandments, and judgments, and personal commands, if any. We thank you very much for joining again here at Yahweh Yahweh, and we will be on the air again in the future, but we want to also be able to hear from you and be assured that we are addressing the issues that you want to hear. So once again, drop us a line at the email is stephanyah@yahwehyahweh.name. Shalom, Maranatha.